Tonight on the show, we are visiting Gramps in a retirement home and wondering why we are fucked up.
Yeah, why are we visiting Grandpa for 6 minutes on a 12-hour journey on Christmas Eve?
There's a lot of whys in this movie. We are doing 1984's controversial classic, Silent Night, Deadly Night. Now, clearly, this was a first-time watch for me, which is shocking, because obviously my connection to Linnea Quigley, I had seen bits and pieces of this. I'd seen the antler scene, and I'm pretty sure I saw the opening scene where the Santa, like, attempts to rape the mom before slashing her throat, but I knew nothing about this.
I had seen this, you know, during my, like, super silly stoned, like, college years and just, like, cracked up the whole time. And gotta say, still, as I did a rewatch, remembered why I love this movie so much and still enjoyable, not stoned.
Absolutely. Loved it. Absolutely. Yeah. Loved it. Total. Yeah. Stone cold sober and thought Silent Night, Deadly Night was fantastic. I had to navigate the amount of posts under my post, which were like, you've never seen this? What the hell? You're the Babe Ruth of horror films. I don't understand. Yeah, like people were flummoxed at the fact that I had never seen this movie.
I was too, especially, you know, because your girl is in it. So I was like, huh? And all just in my brain, you have seen every 1980 horror movie 8,000 times. And have never, like, veered past 91. Like, until recently, it was very, like, if it was not before 1989, Aaron did not know it existed except for Session 9. That was the one that snuck through. So when, like...
She's not wrong.
Right. Yeah. No. Thank you, Slink, for opening a whole new world of horror for us to discuss.
It's true. It's true. Dating Slink did open up, you know, horror past 89, basically, which was, we're at like 94 right now currently. But no, I mean, like, just some different early aughts and some stuff that I really had kind of, you know, just be like, oh, no, I don't need to watch that. Whatever. So I loved this. I absolutely loved this from the badass graphics that open this movie.
Graphics, the fact that it really doesn't make any sense, but is really so simple. Like, it didn't need to have this, like, crazy, you know, I'm just struck in by grief and, you know, the idiosyncrasies of people. No, it's just a fun slasher flick. I had no idea that they made so many of them.
Oh, no. I didn't know that there's a 2021 remake of this movie. I was like, really? And I saw the trailer, and there was a part of me was like, oh, I think I might want to watch this at some point. But it also seemed a little bit more actiony, you know, very, very way more like Death Wish-ish, you know, than this.
It's starring The Rock.
Death Wish. Yeah, it seemed really, you know, so but this one, no, I loved it. From the moment, I really did. From the moment it started, I loved it, and love the fact that it does move at a clip. I don't have to worry about, like, oh God, here comes the exposition fairy to tell us why everything's happening. It's basically just like a series of killings at this point, you know.
Yeah, a total throwback to the 80s. Absolutely 80s. If you were alive in the 80s, and what I loved is, like, while they're in the toy store, looking through for what I wanted.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So we're going to touch on that. Yeah. That's definitely one of the things I loved about it as well. So we open, and there is a family, and they are going to visit Gramps. And it's mom and dad and Billy and Ricky. And Billy is so adorable that it is gut-wrenching to watch what happens to his family through his eyes, because he is just the fucking most adorable child I have ever seen.
And possibly the best actor in the entire fucking movie.
Not wrong.
Yeah.
Not wrong at all.
He nailed it. I fell in love with him. I loved little baby Ricky riding in the front seat in the lap, you know, like you did in the 80s. Totally fine.
Absolutely, totally fine. Did you recognize mom?
we're doing this early.
Okay.
It was. We're gonna put out an answer. This is gonna be our 2020 going into 2025. I'm gonna try to make a guess, and you can tell me how dumb I am. She reminded me of Beverly D'Angelo.
Okay, that's a great guess.
but you're wrong.
Actually, she was she was the female protagonist in Night Killer.
God damn it!
And we just watched it.
So you know what I was thinking? Just because we have to do this. Night Killer could have been saved for me with this simple line. Melanie Beck goes to the door with daughter Danielle, sure. And Sherman comes to the door and Melanie Beck says, thanks for picking up Danielle for the week. And Sherman says, we've been friends since Mr. Vic's history class, sophomore year. She's like a niece to me. Of course I'm going to pick up my niece, Danielle. Could have saved the entire movie and I didn't have to worry about what their connection was.
Yeah, hey, no, I get that. I absolutely get that. It's funny because Night Killer would have benefited from the exposition fairy, whereas this movie, it's like, we don't need the exposition fairy.
Right, and didn't have one, and it was such an enjoyable ride. Yes. But yeah, I thought about that for so long. I was just like, what would have saved Night Killer? Just an explanation as to who Sherman is.
Yes. So Mom is played by Tara Buchman, and they really, man, boy, did they dress her down. Bro, like they really dressed her down. But I'm wondering if she was just hired just because of her tits.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of scenes of that happen later. So we're in Utah. I know that's a thinker. We're in Utah and they go and visit Dad's dad. And they learn the parents are like, first of all, where do the parents go? Because like the parents literally leave Billy alone with grandpa who is catatonic and they're just like, okay, deuces for whatever time.
The doctor comes out and says like, hey, we got to talk about like grandpa's medical records or reports.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. And so, you know, they take baby Ricky because he can't understand what they're going to be talking about, but this is a mental facility that grandpa is in. Why? Who knows? But yeah, they leave Billy with catatonic grandpa to go get the medical reports from the doctor, I guess, of like what his further care is going to look like, what, you know, what we're going to be doing. And so they just leave Billy, who it looks like has never met grandpa.
They just
leave him standing with this catatonic old man in a chair in a mental facility.
And it turns out Papa is evil.
Yeah. Apparently he's faking the catatonic. Good. And why he's in the mental facility at all is never discussed.
Like, did he kill grandma?
Did he kill grandma? Is he a sexual abuser? What did he do to be put in there? We don't know.
Right, because it's not, folks, this is not a memory facility. This is not a dementia facility. Yes. This is 100%, as the sign outside states, Utah mental facility.
Yeah, not an ALF, not a nursing home. This, yeah, it's just grandpa sitting catatonic. And then as soon as he's left alone with a young boy, springs to life.
Yes. Basically tells Billy that Santa is going to kill him and that Santa kills everyone that is naughty, right? That has done bad things in the past year. And, you know, Billy up to this point has thought that Santa was wonderful and brought presents and all this good stuff. So anyway, family comes back, they all get in the car and they're talking and Billy's like, you know, I'm scared of Santa. I don't want Santa to come, you know? And he's like, grandpa told me this, this, and this. And, you know, they're kind of like, oh, this kid, you know, like there's no way grandpa's catatonic, you know, and they kind of tell him no.
Mom says, like, why would Billy lie, though? Yeah. Which actually for the 80s was super progressive.
Yeah.
To be like, that's a thinker, like, you know, trying to navigate the whole Santa's great and he's going to come and bring you presents, but grandpa's catatonic. But why would Billy lie about such a thing? And I just went, well done, parents.
Yeah. So she says something like that and he says, it's naughty to say bad things about old people.
Yeah. And like the absolute like terror that is just like he nails this. Like, not chewing up scenery, what, you know, Aaron's favorite line. Not, you know, shooting for the back row, no Tennessee Williams play. Yeah. This kid is absolutely selling the fear that I don't want Santa to come because I haven't been good the entire year.
Yeah. Amazing, amazing. Now we cut to... we cut to a shitty Santa or a guy in a Santa suit who's decided to hold up a 7-Eleven. There were moments in there where I was like, is he gonna shoot him? Like, it's a brutal, like, this movie is not necessarily, doesn't have very many quote lighthearted moments. It's not a very light movie. But like, if you have a really bizarre gallows sense of humor, this is for you. So guy shows up in the Santa suit, fucking kills the cashier, and oh, it makes off with what, $15?
$31.
See, you're so good. Yeah. Makes off with $31, and okay, and drives away in a car. And then when the family is driving, they see him like kind of waving them down. He is parked, by the way, in the middle of the road, so they can't get any further than that. Anyway, he's parked in the middle of the road, and you know, he kind of like waves for them. And the dad is, you know, very much just like, well, he must have, you know, maybe he was coming home from a Christmas party and his car broke down. We got to help him. And Billy's like, no.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like, everybody's passed out because, again, we took a 12-hour drive on Christmas Eve for 6 minutes with Catatonic Grandpa that we haven't seen Billy's whole life. Perfect. So... you know, Billy's passed out. Mom is like asleep, little baby Ricky asleep. And dad even says, like, you are going to get to see Santa tonight. And, like, little Billy comes to and is just like, no, turn around. No, like, this is going to be bad. And they're just like, no, we got to help Santa so he can get all the presents. And yay.
Now, so question about this, because what was your relationship like with your grandparents? Did you have like one set of grandparents where you were like, I've never met them, this is, you know, whatever, and then the other set of grandparents that you were close with, or were you not close with any of your grandparents?
I was close with both sets.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's wild. Okay, okay. Yeah, because like for me, mom's parents were the grandparents, right? And then my dad's parents, I did not meet my dad's dad till he was dying of bone cancer. So because they had not talked for forever. And so my grandparents were granddaddy and grandma. And, you know, grandma was crazier than a shithouse rat, but my grandfather worshipped her. Granddaddy was 6'4". Grandma was 5'6". She would say shitty things and then hide behind him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My mother's parents, that was normally where we did, like, our holidays.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
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 And, you know, there was Grandma and Grandpa Rocky. Grandpa Rocky owned a glazier business. He used to make mirrors and cut glass, which is interesting now because I'm in the glass business. Shout out, Gramps.
Wow.
Yeah. Interesting, right? Uh-huh. And so, and they were like Italian off the boat, you know, immigrants. Worked hard. America's great. My dad's dad. Mom died during childbirth. So dad's dad was just like, I don't know what to do with a baby, gave the baby to his mother. So it was technically his grandmother that would have been my great grandmother. But yeah, absolutely out of her fucking mind. The fact that she raised my dad from like a baby. So this wasn't like a, you know, absolutely, like, she was a psychic. Absolutely talked about sex at like the most inappropriate times. When I was 14, I went to Texas to go spend like the summer with her because my parents were just like, we don't know what to do with you. So I went and I stayed with her. She took me to a thrift store, bought me black negligee from a thrift store.
Ew.
And then it was just like, you never know when the cowboys are coming in for a ride.
Oh,
so always look good. I am 14.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
unpack it.
Yeah. Right. Let's exactly, like, that's another 8 years on the couch right there. Holy shit. That's insane. So not to be outdone, my grandmother had voodoo dolls for everybody in the family that weren't the grandkids. She adored the grandkids.
Right.
My grandma was one of those people. She'd be like, just say the word. I have $1,000 hidden under these floorboards, you know, like old people did. And but my grandmother had had voodoo dolls made of everybody. And she would say things like, you know, your great aunt Twilight just fell down the stairs and broke her arm. And then she would present me with a doll with a big fucking, you know, like a needle sticking out of its arm.
Oh, my God.
She'd be like, okay, grandma, you know. And when grandma died, we found these like bags, these giant Ziploc bags that were full of tapes that she had taped every single phone conversation she had had with members of the family.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. It was like wild. But my grandmother was revered as like a saint for my grandfather and my brother. So they were very much about the, oh, don't look at that. Don't mess with that. Like, we're going to throw that away. We don't, you know, whatever. So, but yes, my grandmother, crazier than shithouse rat, old school Kentucky, became a operator in Sacramento. So she had the operator voice, you know, but yeah, no, crazy. So we're driving and, oh, so dickhead Santa, holds them up, shoots the dad, and then gets on top of the mom like he's gonna rape her, like rips open her blouse, you know, Tara Buckman's titties, and the kid, so Ricky is still in the car crying.
Yeah, Ricky's still in the car. Billy jumps out of the car, runs into like a wooded area and just like lays down and is covering himself, like sees mom, you know, dad is dead out of the car, bullet hole in the head, mom's titties all over the fucking ground, her throat gets slit, and what happens next?
No, we don't know. Yeah. So, but really, because then there's a cut to, and it's 10 years later, and both boys have ended up in an orphanage.
Yeah, it's 1974, they're now in an orphanage, and there's Mother Superior.
So here's the thing that was interesting to me is that this movie at least takes place in Utah. I'm not necessarily, it's shot in Utah. It looks like Utah. Having seen Sister Wives several times, it seems like they're actually out in Utah. And this is as non-Mormon a orphanage as I could possibly think. Like, this is straight up Irish Catholic Mother Superior kind of shit. Now, I don't know, because I'm not religious, I don't know if like different convents have different denominations. Is that a thing? No. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. So, Billy has taken to drawing like basically Killer Santa, these like pictures, right? He's drawing these pictures of just like a Santa attacking, and so that the nice nun, if you will, she's like, you know, this is not good. Like, he's remembering things, and you know, we probably need to get him into some therapy. And Mother Superior is just like, yeah, just because his parents got killed doesn't mean he needs to be treated differently.
Yeah, like, this whole movie could have ended if like young little Billy just like went to the mental facility in Utah, which we know that they have, you know, and got a little therapy and maybe a hug. Like, just felt like this whole movie would have just hard stopped right there. But no, we send him to the orphanage, and it's just like, oh, yeah, like, suck it up, kiddo. You watched your parents get murdered by Santa Claus? Fuck off. Stop drawing about it. Stop thinking about it. You know, you're fine. Everything's fine. You know, pray to Jesus.
Yeah, very much so. Mother Superior is just a dick, basically. And she's just very much just like, yeah, fuck them kids. So, meanwhile, Billy catches... Okay, yeah. I wasn't familiar... Okay, so I was like thinking, is this the groundskeeper for the orphanage and his girlfriend? I'm like, because they are not like... There's no teenage orphans in this orphanage. This I think stops at a certain like pre-K or whatever, but Billy catches a couple naked making out. And at this point we are now, you know, with like flashbacks and stuff, we're led to believe Billy doesn't like two things, Santa or titties.
Yeah, no, Billy has a problem with sex and Santa and like the whole Christmas time. And you know what? It all really makes sense though. I fault you none.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One of the things about this movie is that all of Billy's actions, truly, I understood all of it. Like, I understood the trajectory that his life took. Uh-huh. I was totally sympathetic to him.
Yeah, no, his backstory really is just like, it's again, Zoloft and a hug, man. Zoloft and a hug would have, this movie would have never been made. But yeah, no, everything that, because he grew up just trying to be good so Santa wouldn't punish him. So Santa wouldn't kill him at the end of the year. If I'm good all year, Santa won't kill me. And, you know, other people are being naughty and, like, not being killed. So, like, my reality doesn't line up with what is happening.
I like that. That's actually a really good way of looking at it. So now we flash forward to 10 years later. And Gary's...
Billy's 37.
Billy is quite old at this point. And Billy... So at this point, Gary's dad from Weird Science... gives Billy a job as a stock boy in a toy store. Now, here's the thing. We're going to have to confirm this with, you know, PJ, et cetera. But if this actor did not do gay porn, then I don't like titties.
Took me a second to put that whole sentence together. But yeah, no, confirm that with PJ, who is our gay porn connoisseur, obviously.
Because... when they show Billy, okay, first of all, it's like he's tan and his arms are popping out of this like Izod shirt. And it's just like, it was like, wait, oh my God. Like he literally looks like he's going to take on Jeff Stryker.
But his ass is really hairy. Is there a big market for that in gay porn?
PJ?
Yeah. You're going to have to at us, sir. Because the, you know, the naked shot that we will get of... you know, Billy dreaming about having sex, real hairy in, it's the hairiest ass I've ever seen.
Yeah,
ever.
It's pretty wild. So he gets this job and as a stock boy, and we get this very, awesome toy montage.
Oh, I do love the 80s montage of just like, we've got to kill time and we're going to put, you know, like, working 9 to 5,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
just like, absolutely. And we're stocking shelves. Oh, God, I do miss that. Why isn't that in every movie?
And I also love the fact that there's this wide variety of, you know, if you're from Gen X, I mean, there's a wide variety of 80s toys in this montage that are so fantastic. Like there were moments where I shouted out like Poochie, like,
oh yeah. The Mr. Potato Head like super pack that like it was both of them with every attachment. I remember that being on a Christmas list for
absolutely.
Me
absolutely. And it was funny because I'm watching this with Slink, who's a toy collector, and so there were lots of moments where he was just like, oh, that toy and that toy, oh, there's Grayskull, you know.
Yeah.
it was so much fun. It has added this different like nostalgia layer to this really sleazy movie. Billy has a crappy coworker who looks like Danny Terrio from Solid Gold.
For me, he is, if you took Danny DeVito and meshed him with Joe Pesci, you get Adam from the toy store.
Okay. Oh, his name's Adam. Wow. Okay. So you wrote that down.
Or Adam or Alan. It's, yeah.
Know. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. No, it's definitely one of those.
Yeah. So he's, yeah, he's walking around and he sees this, there's this beautiful cashier who kind of reminds me of Diane Franklin from Better Off Dead and Last American Virgin and a lot of other movies. But he sees her and he starts to, I guess, first I thought he was fantasizing about her, but then I realized that he's having a sex dream.
Yeah, he is totally having a sex dream. This is where you see his very hairy ass. And it is with the coworker Pamela.
Oh, okay. Wow, you did do your research.
Yeah, no, I. You know me. I'm gonna bring the names, and if I don't know it, it's Randy.
It's Randy and somebody else. Yeah. So he's fantasizing about having, or he's dreaming about having sex with this cashier and with his hairy ass, and a killer shows up dressed as Santa and slices both of them. It's like coitus interruptus in extremis.
Yeah, and like the cut I found fascinating actually, because it's like down the rib cage, down the side, all the way to the hip. And I was like, I don't think I've ever seen that. Just one of those things that as it was happening, I was like, ouch, huh, I don't think I've ever seen that cut, like laying down and, you know, just like the blood pooling. And it was a really fantastic shot in my opinion.
Yes, indeed. It was a great shot. So the Now, the toy store owner, here's the funny thing. When I first saw the toy store owner and the toy store owner was introduced to gay porn Billy, there was a moment where I got major pedophile vibes from the store owner.
Well, yeah, no, it was set up. So, like, sister, the good sister, because I guess Billy still lives at the orphanage, even though he's 42. She takes him into the toy store. The toy store owner's just like, I don't need a boy, I need a man. And sister is just like, okay, like, we'll just tell Billy, you know, that you need a man. And then in walks gay porn star Billy, who's, again, looks like blonde Ken. And, you know, Ira's face just, like, takes him from shoes up and is, like, salivating of just like, I'll see you on Monday.
What? So I for sure thought this was going to involve him hitting on him at some point, but nope, they did not go there. So they're trying to figure out who's going to play Santa this year. And I guess apparently, is it Ira? Ira decides, you know, he's like, well, I'm not playing Santa because fuck them kids. And so they make Billy dress as Santa, and it goes just as great as expected.
Yeah, they had a Santa, but he broke his ankle in an ice skating accident, like you do all the time. So yeah, the only logical conclusion at this point, keep in mind, Ira is elderly and plump. Yeah, the only logical conclusion is to get hot body Billy
right
to come and play Santa. And Billy is just like, in one question, he was just like, hey, we need you to do something for the store. And Billy's like, I'll be happy to do anything. I love my job. I love working. I'm a good boy. Santa's not going to murder me at the end of this year. And they're like, we need you to be Santa. Cut to, he's Santa. Yeah, and I was like, yeah, no.
There was no protest, no boundaries being drawn. He was just like, okay, I guess this is what's happening. So there was a lot of controversy with this movie, like, just to go into, like, some BTS. There was a lot of controversy with this movie because the ad was shown for this film, which basically showed a Santa Claus slashing his way through the 12 days of Christmas, was shown during, I would say, like, normal viewing hours when children were able to see this and they were able to sort of make a broken connection between, you know, like, Santa is bad. Santa is a killer. Santa is scary in some way. So a group of concerned parents decided to picket the movie outside wearing, you know, with the signs like, Santa's not scary. Santa's not a killer, you know. And here's the thing. I am not the most kid-friendly person on the planet. I think we've established this. Anybody who's been listening to our show for, you know, a second knows this. I gotta say, had I been the age that these children were exposed to this, right? Like, had I been like 5 or 6 years old at this point and watching television and seeing that, I think there would have been questions. I probably would have been scared by it. So I guess my solution to this would have been like, all right, just air the ad after 10 o'clock. Like, if we can't watch Justify Your Love until after 10 and we can't watch Do Me by Belle Biv DeVoe, shout out, like, after 10, maybe we should push the slasher Santa app till after 10, but apparently that was not an option. I don't know. And so we had this like controversy surrounding it. Siskel and Ebert, you know, of course, gave it 2 thumbs down and compared it in like in terms of ferociousness to I Spit on Your Grave.
Come on. Like,
right. I was like, really? We're going to compare this sort of like sleazy, campy, goofy horror film to like, you know, Rape Fest 74? Like,
what? Yeah, that's too far. But yeah, no, if I had seen, you know, Santa, because I can remember like having questions of like, wait, a guy's coming into the house at night? Like, wait, just talk me through it, Dad. You know, like, make it, because it was already kind of a scary premise to me that a man was coming into the house. They were just like, no, you know, he does it to all the boys and girls. And, you know, he comes at night and he just delivers the presents and we leave the cookies out and the carrots and all the thing. And then, you know, he leaves. And I was like, all right. Like,
it was like a good home invasion.
Right. But like, I can distinctly remember like being a little easy about somebody coming into the house while I was sleeping. So if I had seen Santa with a bloody axe, I would have been like, all right, listen, I feel like we just bow out this year of we just whatever signs that you put on the house to let them know there are children in here. We're just not going to do it this year. We're just out. So I can get behind the, and again, not a kid friendly, really individual and have three.
We really are the worst.
Yeah. I feel like I'm a little bit lower than you, being that I'm a stepmom.
You have children. Yeah. Like you have stepkids. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But yeah, no, if I would not have let them watch this or have anything to do with this while they were growing. And I definitely have let them watch things that, you know, probably I shouldn't have, whatever. But this would have been like a hard no for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So finally Christmas is over, meaning the night of having Santa here to like have these children. Okay, so let's just talk about this for a second. There is a scene of these kids like getting on, you know, Santa, i.e. Billy's lap, and it is so creepy.
Yeah. Like, you know, all the parents are watching and like the one little girl is like just,
she's just squirming like a motherfucker. And he is trying so hard to, he is like trying to reason with a terrorist. He is just like, he's like, please calm down. Please don't move. Please stop moving. Please stop
kicking me. Yeah. Exactly. And then eventually he's just like, if you are naughty, Santa's gonna kill you.
Right. Santa's gonna kill you and your entire family.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, like, you just see, like, the mom's like, he's so good with the kids. And I'm like,
So finally, all the kids clear out and Christmas is over. Everybody drank.
Yeah. This actually. So, yeah, it's 7 p.m. God, I love the 80s. We have closed the stores down because capitalism dies at 7. God, I miss the 80s. And yeah, so they close the store down and, you know, start pulling out booze and whatever. And I go, okay, you know, everybody, we've gotten through like the madness of like Christmas, whatever. We're all going to like take a shot and go home to our families. Obviously. Yeah. No. This is a full on. We are getting hammered.
Oh, yeah. They're like setting up literal shot glasses. Now, it comes to, you know, us to know that like, at this point, Billy has never had a drink.
Yeah, no, it's naughty.
Yeah.
And he, again, is not old enough to drink, but is also
old enough to drink.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, we're going to get drunk Billy in a Santa suit on Christmas Eve. What could go wrong?
Absolutely. What could go wrong? Indeed. So he notices his girl crush is making out with Danny Terrio in one of the aisles. And so he's like, oh, crap. You know, there goes that option. And he goes in the back and watches them as as this dipshit attempts to rape her.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's,
yeah. Okay. So... We all know I stand with victims, right? I really, really do. You know, I would much rather back a liar than a rapist. That is my hard truth. However, when Billy's walking back and she's in like the, no, like, get off me, like, stop, whatever. She is not moving or doing anything. Like, she is still like holding on to him, and it really just, but I know no means no and he should have stopped. I really feel like a step back and he would have fallen flat on his face. And I really hated Pamela. I stand with you. You're a survivor, girl. I mean, for another 4 seconds, but I really wanted her to do something.
So Billy busts in and, you know, naughty, and grabs Dime Store Danny Terrio and strings him up with Christmas lights. I thought it was funny that like it's basically a strangulation, but it somehow it like results in a slit throat.
Yeah. Well, he was holding him so tightly. You know how them little bulbs turn into barbed wire. But yeah, like, I mean, he's just a beast of a man. And again, you know, Danny DeVito, Joe Pesci. So, like, I mean, he is holding him up.
Because this dude's real short. Like, yeah. this dude's maybe 5'1". Yeah. Maybe, on a good day.
We love a short king.
Yeah. He is indeed a short king. So here's the thing. So her reaction to all of this. Now,
let's. I got a problem.
Okay. So I was talking about this with Slink, and I said, if I was in a situation where I was about to be raped, and you came in, grabbed the guy, and then strung him up with Christmas lights, my reaction to that would be like, your place or mine.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm already pretty much naked. You look like a gay Ken doll.
Yeah. I'm going to show how grateful I really am.
Yeah. Like, all of that makes sense for her to turn around and be like, you're a monster. Yeah, I was right. Like, I what like, no. Games we play in, Pamela? You're the fucking problem.
So she kind of cowers and she's telling him what a piece of shit he is, basically. So he slices her up for not being grateful.
Yeah.
And you know what? It charts.
Yeah. I back Billy. I back Billy on just about everything that he does except for in like three scenes. Because okay. I was like, meh.
Okay. All right. So we cut to a couple making out on a pool table. And at first I thought
he kills the rest of the toy people.
Oh, well, yeah, no, he does kill. Yeah. I basically was like, I wrote spree kill because he just goes crazy, like kills Ira and then kills the woman that works with Ira.
The bookkeeper lady. Bow and arrow found in a toy store. I was like, God, I love the 80s. Because, you could have bought that there.
Absolutely. Fantastic. So, yeah, so he kills the rest of them and then sets off to basically have his spree night. And then we cut to a couple making out on a pool table. When I first saw this, I went like, are those Linnea's fake boobs or her pre-boobs? Because I said that because in Graduation Day she has no boobs. Mm-hmm. And so this was like a couple years later, and then when I looked at her boobs I was like, oh yeah, no, that's after. Yeah, that's her boob job.
But it looks fucking great.
No, God bless, great boobs. So we are treated then to several pool table puns.
Yeah, I was like, this reminded me of Butcher Baker Nightmare Maker.
Hey, fun fact. The Ira is also in that.
Oh. Throwback.
I think one of the cops.
Sure. Yeah, sure. When I watched this, I just went, so we've dissected that the absolute worst place to have sex is on a diving board. But I feel like a hard number two is on top of a pool table with the felt and uncomfortable.
No, it definitely did not seem like anything. But the fun part is when, I guess, this kid comes down the stairs or up. So, first of all, shout out to this badass house. Holy shit. It looks like it's like three stories and there's all these different like M.C. Escher staircases that lead to these rooms. And it's obviously, this is Utah life, right? So there's basements and game rooms and all kinds of shit. And she kind of like sits up and realizes that the kid is coming, and she's just like, go to bed, in only the greatest way that Linnea delivers her lines.
Yeah. Like, who these people are, they are just Utah residents. Yeah. And this was my one scene that I have a problem with Billy, because why are you at this house?
Exactly. There's no real connection there other than it's just like you just happen to be, right place, right time kind of thing. Linnea goes, so she's like, oh, shit, I got to let the cat in. So she goes to the front door, topless.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
In the
and it's freezing. Now, it's here's freezing. The thing. We're talking about Utah Christmas.
Yeah.
This is snow, ice, all this shit. And she basically opens the front door wearing nothing but like a little pair of cutoff shorts.
Like jean underwear.
Yeah.
So we put those on. We leave Steve on the pool table. I don't know if that's his real name. But we leave Steve on the pool table. We get dressed in our jean short underwear to open the door completely topless. And I'm like, where are your parents?
Yeah, and that was what I was thinking. I was like, is she just a babysitter who happens to have smuggled her boyfriend in, or is Denise, by the way, that's Linnea's name, or is the little girl her little sister?
Yeah, I could not figure out who these people were, but it didn't bother me in this movie like it did
in Night Killer.
Okay, so Linnea gets startled basically by Killer Billy, and he impales her on antlers.
Loved it. Yeah, like he is throwing her around, all 74 pounds of her, just I mean ripping her around, and then, you know, picks her up over the shoulder, and, you know, just sees like the big mounted buck head that you would absolutely have in Utah, and just impales her through the antlers, and it is beautiful. Yeah. Titties, antlers, blood. Chef's kiss.
Fantastic scene. Definitely chef's kiss. Also, did you notice all of the amazing tiger paintings that are everywhere?
Yeah, I mean, what? Why buy one if you can have 17? Yeah. You know?
First I was like, is that a tiger on velvet? And then Slink was like, no, that's just a regular like tiger painting. And he was like, make that mine. And I'm thinking like, man, that would make a great present.
Yeah. That's probably where the parents were on an African safari. Sure. Getting a tiger for the house.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Billy then turns to Steve, we'll call him, and strangles him with the phone cord, and then yeets him out a window.
Yeah. Loved the yeet out the window, and then just like the glass stuck through him and all the places. Oh God. It really has some great shots.
Yeah. Oh no, the death scenes in this are fantastic. So then the little girl comes down the stairs and approaches him, and I remember turning to Slink and going like, oh, please tell me he doesn't kill the kid. Like, I know, you know, I am one step away from the fucking witch and Hansel and Gretel, right? Like, you know, don't keep eating my house, you know, I'm sticky in the oven. But this little girl approaches him, and I'm thinking, please don't fucking kill her. And thank God, spoiler alert, phew, he asks her, like, has she been good all year? And repeatedly asks her this question, and she's like, yes, Santa, I've been good. And so then he gives her... He gives her a box cutter.
Yeah, a bloody X-Acto knife. And she's just holding it as he walks out of the house. So fucking great.
Yeah. Oh man, I was howling. I was absolutely howling. Okay. So speaking of howling, then we get two dudes in the snow.
Yeah. Like two like 15-esque kids. They're decided to go out sledding. Normal 15-year-old boys.
And then it's funny because then they get in a scuffle with two other teenage boys.
Yeah. Now we have like two like 18, 19 bros. Who just, and like, it is known, like, they even say, like, you're gonna steal our sleds, huh? And they were like, move, yeah. Like, yeah.
We're gonna Legend of Billie Jean this shit.
Right, like, totally. And, you know, like, they push them down and the 15-year-olds, like, run off. What, you know, God intervention right there. Because this is absolutely the best fucking scene in the entire movie.
Absolutely. Yeah, this death scene is fantastic. So they decide to go sledding, and I don't even know what time it is at this point. Like, it's dark outside. They're sledding, and Billy, does he axe him? It's an axe, right?
So yeah. Like the first guy goes down first, and he's like, woo, like, this is so great, sledding all the time. And then his friend Mo, I don't know, decides to come down, and Billy like steps out from behind a tree with the axe, takes off the head, and his friend Curly, I guess, it was at the bottom of the hill, and the sled just comes down
with a headless body,
and then the head rolls down after. I cheered out loud. Oh, yeah, it was so good.
It really was. It was a chef's kiss of kills. So now the nice nun decides to show up at Utah PD, and she's like, because she basically was like, look, I know some shit's gonna go down. Like,
she went to the toy store.
Yeah.
She went to the toy
store. Did she go to the toy? Fuck, yeah. Man, I missed that.
Yeah. Okay. She called the toy store to be like, hey, how's Billy doing? This is a hard time of year for him. And they were like, oh, it's great. He's being Santa. And the nurse, then the sister is like, that's a horrible idea. Then she goes to the toy store, sees the bookkeeper with the arrow through, and then goes to the police station. Is just like, so we might have a small situation.
she even asked, she's like, well, okay, so how is it? Like, how has the night been? Whatever. And the cop is like, all bad, sister.
Yeah. All bad.
So meanwhile, at the orphanage, some little brat leaves the phone off the hook.
Yeah. She got a doll from Santa. Like, I would like to point out that this orphanage got amazing gifts.
Oh, I know. Right. Yeah. There's no fucking Tinker Toys here, man. These are like, they're getting like full on, like, you know, Baby Alive.
Yeah. Cabbage Patch Kids. And I was just like, well done, Utah. Like, you have an amazing angel tree and community. Love that. So, yeah, she's got her Cabbage Patch Kid, and her Cabbage Patch Kids makes a phone call to whomever and leaves the phone off the hook so they can't call the orphanage. Because they have figured out, like, Billy will go to his next logical place, even though he stopped at a house that he had no connection to, unless that was the house he grew up in, maybe?
I don't know. I literally only could think of the fact that it was just a, like, he showed up and was like, oh my God, titties? No.
Yeah, no, titties are bad. I dreamt about titties once. It's been downhill since then.
Mom showed her titties. She got killed. You know, like, titties is not good stuff. So the cops show up at the orphanage and they end up shooting a guy dressed as Santa, thinking that it's Billy.
In front of all the fucking children.
Yeah, in front of all of these children. And then Mother Superior yells out, oh no, you just shot Father O'Brien.
And they're like, well, he didn't stop. He's deaf. Of course he is. Of course you have a deaf pastor of the orphanage who is dressed as Santa, who was shot in the back. Thank you, Utah police. In front of 30 children in a yard. Like, thank God you were a good shot there, officer.
Oh my God. So then they all file back into the orphanage. And, you know, Mother Superior is basically like, hey, if he fucking shows up, man, I got this, right? Yeah. Like, I will kill him. Like, no harm must come to the children. And I thought, that's my job.
Yeah. And she's now in a wheelchair. She's now bound in a wheelchair, but she is absolutely ready to fist fight Billy because he's always been naughty. He's always been a bad kid. And I'm like, again, hugging Zoloft, but sure thing. But, you know, in order to keep, you know, the children's spirits up, because their pastor was just murdered in front of them, dressed as Santa Claus, she pulls out her pitch pipe and they sing, Oh Come All Ye Faithful.
Yes, indeed. Fun fact, my favorite Christmas carol, because I sing it pretty badass. So it's time for a sing-along, basically.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, it's definitely time for a sing-along. Then a young ginger cop who is definitely on his first assignment.
Yeah, on his first assignment, he's walking around the building.
Just patrolling the orphanage, waiting for actual Billy to show up, and ends up in a basement?
Yeah, it was like a shed cellar that I assume that they would have kept, you know, storage of some sort in some right. type of bunker,
and then gets Scatman Carruthered, gets an axe right in the belly.
Yeah, no, he's out, and the only thing left for Billy to do is to go into the orphanage and wreak havoc. And one of the little boys decides to let Billy in because it's Santa. Even though we just saw Santa get murdered in front of us, it's Santa, so we're going to let him in. And Mother Superior is just like,
Don't let him in.
And the little boy turns to her and goes, but it's Santa.
Yeah. And I was just like, you know what? The resilience of children.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, no object permanence, yeah. Right? They have no way to be like, well, that's Santa, and Santa got killed, and now there's another Santa. I'm so confused right now. So
it's like Buffy the Vampire Slayer. One goes down, another must rise.
Exactly. So Santa, so Billy comes in and is about to kill Mother Superior, rightfully so, might I add. And unfortunately, he dies by cop.
Yeah, no, the captain shows up, they shoot him in the back, and, you know, the axe falls down. So now the kids have witnessed the murder of Santa twice in a 4-minute period. Again, maybe we can learn from this and put those kids in the Utah mental health facility. Because as the axe drops, we just see Billy's now brother, Ricky, who is still only 7.
Yeah, there really is an aging process of these two kids. It's kind of confusing. So, yes, we do. We see Ricky kind of be like, I am going to take the throne.
Yeah, and he just says, naughty.
And credits.
And credits.
And credits.
Amazing. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. You can watch Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 1 actually on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Or you can rent it on Apple and a bunch of other ones. But it's pretty cool. Fun fact, though, Silent Night, Deadly Night 2 is streaming
everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. So I was kind of shocked by that. So, great fucking movie. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. Next week, next week I'll be doing Jello Shots with Pete. We're going to do New York Ripper. That's appropriate for the holidays. Then the week after, Hillary and I are coming back to do Deadly Blessing. That's Wes Craven's made-for-TV Sharon Stone's first film.
Yeah, no, we're going to end the year with a bang and do Deadly Blessing.
So excited. So keep it here. We got a lot of episodes coming up. And as always,
stay manic.